This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Flashing over the Mueller report. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Thursday, May 2nd. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Attorney General William Barr was defensive with lawmakers about his handling of the Mueller report.
Barr has informed lawmakers on the House Judiciary Committee that he will skip a hearing today on the Mueller report.
A North Carolina college student is being lauded as a hero for sacrificing his life to save the lives of others in a shooting Tuesday evening.
And how Joe Biden went from flop to front runner in Iowa.
He was facing forces that were much greater than him, first of all. Because you had somebody named Barack Obama coming on the scene for the first time. At the same time, you had Hillary Clinton running a historic campaign. And then you had John Edwards running, and he had been vice presidential nominee just 4 years before that.
Natasha Karecki of Politico will be along in about 20 minutes with that story. Attorney General William Barr criticized Robert Mueller's decision not to reach a conclusion about whether President Trump obstructed justice during a contentious hearing that laid bare a disagreement between him and the special counsel over the investigation. Barr faced pointed criticism from Senate Democrats yesterday over his handling of the findings on Russian election interference in 2016. The hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee came just after the Justice Department released a March 27th letter from Mueller to the Attorney General, saying Barr's early public portrayals of the report's main conclusions failed to fully capture the work of the special counsel's office. Barr was questioned by Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut about his discussions with Mueller.
There were notes taken of the call.
May we have those notes?
No.
Why not?
Why should you have them?
Barr made further comments on Mueller's letter to him.
The letter's a bit snitty, and I think it was probably written by one of his staff people.
Democrats press Barr on why he wasn't more forthcoming about his disagreements with Mueller, while Republicans repeatedly asked for information about whether the FBI appropriately handled the early stages of the investigation. Attorney General William Barr has canceled plans to testify before the House about his handling of Mueller's Russia investigation, further inflaming tensions between President Trump and Democrats in Congress. Barr was due to face the Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee today, but pulled out after the two sides were unable to agree on the format for the hearing. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler.
The Attorney General has a nerve to try to dictate, and the administration has a nerve to dictate our procedures. It's simply part of the administration's complete stonewalling of Congress.
A Justice Department spokeswoman said Nadler's proposal to have committee lawyers question Barr was unprecedented and unnecessary, saying questions should come from lawmakers. The Justice Department also says it would not comply with a Nadler-issued subpoena seeking an unredacted version of Mueller's report and underlying investigative files from the probe. President Trump praised William Barr's performance from yesterday's Senate hearing, saying he did a fantastic job and dismissing calls for his resignation as abuse from people who are running for president. Trump spoke with Fox.
Three of them running against me, and they're up there ranting and raving like lunatics, frankly. And they're running, and how is that fair? So you have Bill Barr, highly respected, great attorney general, and he's got to take the abuse from people that are running for office.
Following Barr's testimony, a number of 2020 Democratic presidential candidates called on him to resign, including Senators Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Amy Klobuchar, and former Vice President Joe Biden. Trump criticized several of the candidates, including Harris, who the president said was probably very nasty during her questioning of Barr. It's 10 minutes after the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, President and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
all of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Reminder, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. From flop to frontrunner, Joe Biden failed to crack 1% in the 2008 caucuses in Iowa, but now he is the frontrunner. What happened? Natasha Korecki of Politico is here with the story. Natasha, what happened to Biden in 2008?
He was facing forces that were much greater than him, first of all, because you had somebody named Barack Obama coming on the scene for the first time. It was 2008, 4 years after Obama had given this dazzling, transformative speech at the Democratic National Convention that everyone saw and was inspired by. And he fairly quickly rose up in Iowa and started becoming, had gotten all the star power. At the same time, you had Hillary Clinton running, a historic campaign, and then you had John Edwards running, and he had been the vice presidential nominee just 4 years before that. So you had these three, national figures, running, and they sort of blotted out the sun in terms of fundraising and campaigning and putting ads on the air, organization staff on the ground in Iowa. So then you had Joe Biden coming in as a senator from Delaware, and he was sort of the elder statesman at the time. Believe it or not, now he's even more of an elder statesman. But that was how he was trying to position himself, as, he had a lot of international intelligence experience. He was on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and he was kind of trying to run as somebody who had that experience, and he just couldn't quite get traction on his messaging.
And Natasha, your story points out, despite all this, that Iowans really did like Joe Biden.
Right. It was interesting because, the narrative you hear from Joe Biden in Iowa is that he couldn't get a 1% point, and it was just a big flop. That is true. The way that the caucuses are calculated in terms of the number of delegates you get. However, when I started talking to people and kind of going back to the time then, they were talking about, he packed some bars, he packed smaller venues. People really liked him. He's very likable on the ground. It just was that he didn't have staff. He didn't have resources. He was very popular in certain pockets of the state, but he just couldn't get traction statewide. So it wasn't as if he got less than 1% because everyone hated him. it was kind of this confluence of factors, including these three people. And then this also goes back to, and we explained this in our story, just the caucus rules in Iowa. You're at a live caucus. You have to have the total people who show up. You have to have 15% of the total to be declared viable. So, some of Biden's people argued to us, we'd often have 13%, 12%, and we weren't viable. So if you're not viable, you get zero. So, you extrapolate that across the state, then, their argument is we actually did a lot better than people think.
We're speaking with Natasha Korecki from Politico. Natasha, everything's turned around. The metrics are flipped. Why is Biden doing well?
Right. So he's doing well because now he comes back as having served two terms in the White House under Barack Obama. He has the Obama, legacy that he's running on. He has name recognition. You know, a lot of these early polling, it is name recognition. And his likability is very high, and you know, if you look at polling in Iowa, there's lots of different metrics that they look at, and one of them is, you know, is this candidate too liberal, too moderate, you know, just right? And out of all the candidates, and there's 20, more than 20 plus Democrats, Biden scored the highest on the just right question.
Thanks, Natasha. Natasha Karecki of Politico. Mother's Day is coming up, and there's absolutely nothing most of us wouldn't do to make sure the special moms in our life are happy. Shari's Berries has special Mother's Day berries designed just for mom that are topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar, and swizzle. So you can choose your delivery date to ensure mom gets your gift of Shari's Berries exactly when you want her to. And your satisfaction is always guaranteed. Don't wait until the last minute on this one. Visit berries.com today to order freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 for the moms in your life. To make mom really happy, you can double the berries for just $10 more. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th, so visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the code Gordon19. That's berries.com. Click the microphone, code Gordon19. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, in 5 hours of testimony before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee, Attorney General William Barr was unrepentant about his decision not to charge President Trump with obstruction of justice.
I didn't exonerate. I said that we did not believe that there was sufficient evidence to establish an obstruction offense, which is the job of the Justice Department.
Barr even called Robert Mueller's letter objecting to his summary of the report a bit snitty. The House Judiciary Committee voted to allow committee lawyers to question Barr today, but Barr has rejected that format and he says he won't show. 22-year-old former student Tristan Andrew Terrell makes his first court appearance today after sitting in the Mecklenburg County Jail since Tuesday when police say he opened fire on a class at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. Police Chief Carr Putney says more lives would have been lost if another student hadn't jumped the gunman to stop the carnage.
First and foremost hero, as far as I'm concerned, in his name is Riley Howell.
Howell was one of two killed. Four others were wounded. More misery for already inundated Davenport, Iowa, with the rainstorms expected through the day today. Barriers holding back Mississippi River floodwaters failed Tuesday, sending muddy water rushing through downtown, with cleanup from that still underway. Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido is calling on Venezuelan workers to begin rolling strikes starting today, building to a general strike later in the month in his continuing effort to oust President Nicolas Maduro. Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan says the U.S. is looking at various ways to put pressure on Maduro.
We've done exhaustive planning, so there's not a situation or a scenario that we don't have a contingency for.
Thousands of Guaido supporters in Caracas and elsewhere heeded his call to demonstrate on May Day, met by tear gas and in one section of the Capitol, reportedly by live ammunition. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro plans to appeal a federal judge's decision to toss former Penn State President Graham Spanier's child endangerment conviction a day before he was due to start serving his two-month sentence. Spanier's team argues he was improperly charged for how he decided to respond to a report that then-assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was seen abusing a boy in a team shower. And May's Mental Health Awareness Month, Burger King's partnering with the nonprofit Mental Health America to increase visibility about mental health issues with real meals. They're mood-centric Whopper meals, and they don't have toys, but they are bringing attention to the issue, and you can find them at select locations in Seattle, Miami, L.A., New York City, and Austin.
Burger King does a great job with all their social media kinds of things.
It's a good one.
Yep. Thanks, Rasa. Want to unsubscribe from your TV service? Your cable company might not be all that upset about that. Tech writer for USA Today, Rob Pegoraro, is here to tell us why. Rob, how do data caps affect what we download?
For a lot of people, they don't really notice them, and especially not if you don't subscribe to streaming video. So this is something we're going to have to watch out for, because some smaller cable operators have decided, you know what, the margins for video programming are not just getting smaller, they're getting negative. So if our subscribers say, look, we got to drop you for Sling TV or YouTube TV or whatever, fine. It's been nice knowing you, just keep paying for internet. But if you switch 4 or 5 or whatever hours of viewing a day, from a cable TV package to a streaming package, you could bust right through those caps. And the two operators I looked at in this column for USA Today, Mediacom and Cable One, they have data caps of about 400 gigabytes. And that's not all that much, especially if you're going to start watching streaming video in HD on two or more devices in your house a fair amount of the day.
How would it benefit those smaller companies if you decide to drop out?
So this is the interesting thing. You look at it, if video has got a negative profit margin these days, because if you're a small cable operator, you're not going to get great carriage deals from these TV networks. But a data cap, you're sort of inventing scarcity where it doesn't necessarily exist, so your profit margin could be 100%. And that's where I think I might be in the wrong line of work, because you switch the customer from something that loses you money to something that makes you a vast amount of money or gets them to subscribe to a faster internet package than they otherwise would have needed.
We're speaking with Rob Pegoraro, a tech writer for USA Today. Now, your story mentions those two companies. How many people does that affect, and why is this not a problem for the larger cable companies?
In two words, bargaining power. A Comcast or a Cox, I mean, Comcast, they own a large media company, NBC Universal, and so they're in good shape. They're not going to lose money on video anytime, although even Comcast, they now make more money from internet access than from selling TV to people. But your smaller cable operators, they've been talking about this for years in the industry, maybe you'll see them offer a bundle of, here's the broadband connection, and here is Sling TV bundled, or YouTube TV, or PlayStation View, or Hulu with Live TV, or AT&T's DirecTV Now. And that's good to the extent that switching your viewing from traditional cable to streaming, you actually have competition in TV service, which you didn't before, but you may pay extra in internet access because of these fees you never noticed before.
Rob, if you are a consumer who's using one of these smaller cable companies and you're getting hit with extra charges or you don't have so many options, what are some things that you could do about this?
Really, there's not a whole lot, unless you can point to some use that is putting an unexpected dent in your bandwidth. Usually you're just going to have to trade to a more expensive plan or pay for unlimited data, because these two cable operators I talked to, I wrote about, and pretty much all the others with data caps, none of them offer a tool like what you have on your phone that says, here's where you used all your data last month.
Thanks, Rob. That's Rob Pegoraro, tech writer for USA Today. It's coming up on 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
On this Thursday, May 2nd, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kaye. Some of our top stories and headlines: the House Judiciary Committee will face an empty chair today instead of Attorney General William Barr. Florida lawmakers pass a bill that allows teachers to arm themselves. The Trump administration requests $4.5 billion in new border funding. The Fed signals neither a rate hike nor a cut is likely soon. Kentucky Derby favorite Omaha Beach is scratched. And Jeopardy contestants are pretty smart, except when it comes to politics. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you live from the Dell Studios. Dell is thanking small businesses this month with up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Remember Gitmo? It's been a while since Guantanamo Bay has been in the news, but it's still there with an aging inmate population. Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times is here with more on the debate about the prison's future. Ben, who's left at Guantanamo Bay?
Well, look, I mean, here we are almost two decades after 9/11 almost, and we've got only about 40 people left. Well, 40 exactly left there at Guantanamo. It had been 41 when President Trump took office, but one of those is now gone. And so there's only 40, and that's down from a high, a peak back in the mid-2000s of nearly 700 people. So you've got this, you know, sprawling facility down there that's getting increasingly expensive and only a few dozen inmates that are left.
Your story notes that the Pentagon recently got rid of the prison's commander. What was that all about?
Yeah, Admiral Ring. Now, I mean, it's fair to note off the bat that they do a one-year rotation of commanders down there. So he was only scheduled to serve for another couple of months anyway. But they got rid of him prematurely. And frankly, the reasons are still kind of murky. The official explanation from the Pentagon was that they'd lost confidence in his ability to lead and they were going to make a change. Now, the speculation behind the scenes and talking to people inside the Pentagon privately, there was some frustration at the top of the Defense Department with what Admiral Ring had been saying publicly about Guantanamo. He had really pulled no punches in saying, look, the facility as it's set up now, you know, and moving forward isn't practical. It's just not feasible to have these men, these 40 men who are getting older and sicker every day that goes by and are going to need increasing amounts of medical care. We're going to need to construct new medical facilities, do all these kinds of things if this place is going to remain open as it is now. And he noted, frankly, that there just doesn't seem to be any traction on that in Washington. So I think those comments, while undeniably true, and I can't really find anybody who disagrees with what the admiral said about Guantanamo, that, near as I can tell, seems to be the reason that he was ousted.
We're speaking with Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times. Ben, your story details the expense of keeping Guantanamo open and how much each prisoner costs, and it is astounding.
Yeah, no, it's really crazy to think about. Just for the sake of reference here, it costs roughly just under $80,000 per year to house an inmate annually at your normal federal maximum security prison, which presumably is where terrorist suspects would go if they were ever moved from Guantanamo. So $80,000 there compared to a little bit over $10 million on Guantanamo Bay. It costs $445 million at least, and that was a figure from a couple of years ago, so that it's actually likely even higher now. $445 million, or roughly a little over $10 million per inmate to keep this place going, and that, of course, is for all the, you know, the logistical expenses to keep the lights on, to have food, to have running water, to keep the place clean, to have the hundreds and hundreds of military personnel and staff that have to be there. And in addition, now you've got a situation where, as the inmates get older, this place isn't set up basically to be a hospital or particularly a medical care facility for older people. So you're having to fly in medical professionals from the mainland U.S. You're having to fly in medical equipment to do surgeries and other procedures. So while that number is shocking already, I think what's even more shocking is when you talk to experts on this, they say it's just going to increase exponentially year over year going forward.
President Obama wanted to close Gitmo. President Trump wants more people sent there. Neither of those things happened. What happens next? Does Congress step in?
No, I don't think they do, quite frankly. And you're right. I mean, like, that puts the whole thing in perspective when you look at President Obama and his successor, President Trump, who had polar opposite policies when it comes to Guantanamo. President Obama, of course, wanted to close it, said that it had become a stain on the reputation of the U.S. and a recruiting tool for terrorists. He tried for 8 years to close it down. They succeeded in shrinking the population dramatically. They did have success there, but they were never able to figure out what to do with those last few dozen terrorist suspects, and so they just simply weren't able to get it done.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times. It's 20 minutes before the hour on this morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. It's time to go beyond the headlines this morning as Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that promposals are all the rage these days, and they can range from simple and sweet to over the top and everything in between. One thing we know for sure, if you are getting ready to pop the prom question and want to increase your chances of success, it would be helpful trouble if you went to the right house. That was a snag hit by a Henderson, Nevada teen named Austin Musa, who was seen in a viral Twitter video ringing the doorbell of a house that he thought a girl named Hannah lived in with a box of donuts in his hand, hoping to ask her to the prom. Austin immediately realizes there's a problem when a different girl answers the door, leading to a very embarrassing moment.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I really thought you were someone else.
I apologize.
Oh my gosh.
In the days since, the scene has been shared nearly 40,000 times on Twitter, leading to a lot of comments, as you might imagine. Some felt bad for the girl at the door, who was clearly happy that a promposal might be happening, with others saying that Austin should have just asked her to the prom instead. In any case, the clip has struck a nerve and has been viewed over 2.5 million times. And due to his new fame, Austin made sure to post a follow-up tweet, a pic of him with Hannah in their prom duds, indicating that he had finally found his date.
I wonder if they knew each other.
It didn't seem like they did. I mean, you would have thought they went to the same school or something. It seemed like they didn't know each other for whatever reason. And she probably knew that somebody was going to ask her to the prom. So when there was a boy standing at the door, she thought, I think it was that boy, but it was not. It was a different boy, and they didn't seem to know each other at all. It was a very strange situation.
That's awkward.
And we know, Jen, that the TSA may be incredibly strict about the size of everyone's shampoo bottles, but big bags of animal poop are just fine, apparently. According to a Twitter post by the agency, a traveler was going through security at Juneau International Airport in Alaska recently and was caught with a bag full of moose droppings. A spokesperson for the TSA said the bag was flagged after scanning equipment detected a large mass of organic material inside of it. Since this is a sign of potential explosives, TSA officers were forced to check the bag. On Instagram, the TSA elaborated that the bag's owners considered the moose nuggets souvenirs from his Alaskan adventure, like that euphemism, and the man reportedly told the TSA officers that he likes to present the poop to politicians.
Oh, come on.
But he was allowed to take it on the plane.
That's insane.
So can you imagine sitting next to that person
with
the big bag of poop? This wasn't a tiny, a tiny little bag. This was like a big
moose,
shopping bag, basically, full of moose-sized droppings.
And they fight with you over shampoo bottles.
Right.
That's insane.
Right. No more than 3 ounces in a quart-sized bag and the whole thing, but you can carry a big monster bag full of poop on the plane. Another reason why flying is better to drive.
Yeah, right.
take the train if you can.
You can take as much moose nuggets in your car that you want. You
fill
won't
up
offend
the trunk.
Anyone.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Thursday. Don't wash your chicken. That's the latest warning from the CDC, which says washing raw chicken can spread germs from the chicken to other food or utensils in the kitchen. In a tweet, the government agency included a link to its tips on preventing food poisoning with chicken and estimated every year about 1 million people get sick from eating poultry that's contaminated with harmful germs. The reason not to wash, the CDC says, is that during washing, the chicken juices can spread in the kitchen and contaminate other things. So how should you clean the chicken? By cooking it to an internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit, which will kill harmful germs and help prevent food poisoning. You should also place chicken in a disposable bag before putting it in your shopping cart or refrigerator to prevent juices from getting onto other foods. Wash your hands with soapy water for 20 seconds before and after handling chicken, and use a separate board for cutting raw chicken. Refrigerate or freeze leftover chicken within 2 hours. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, Attorney General William Barr told the House Judiciary Committee he won't be at today's scheduled hearing about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. The committee voted to allow committee lawmakers to question Barr, but Barr rejects that format. Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler says that amounts to Barr, quote, trying to blackmail the committee, and that the executive branch doesn't get to dictate the format of the hearing.
If good faith negotiations don't result in a pledge of compliance in the next day or two, the next step is seeking a contempt citation against the Attorney General.
Nadler warns he may issue a subpoena for the Attorney General to show up if he doesn't relent. 22-year-old Tristan Terrell makes his first court appearance today. He's charged with 2 counts of murder and 4 counts of attempted murder in the classroom shooting Tuesday at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. He was a history major at UNCC, enrolled as recently as the fall semester. A probation officer was preparing a warrant for Michael Cummins' arrest Friday, a day before 7 people were found brutally killed in Sumner County, Tennessee, and Cummins was taken into custody after a massive manhunt. Sheriff's officials say Cummins was arrested in September 2017 after he set fire to a neighbor's home and was jailed until this past January. The Federal Reserve Bank's rate-setting committee voted unanimously to leave their benchmark interest rate alone.
We reviewed economic and financial developments in the United States and around the world and decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell downplayed concerns that recent soft inflation might be a sign of broader economic weakness. Starbucks is recalling almost 300,000 of its coffee presses made in partnership with Bodum after 8 reports of its plunger knobs breaking and causing deep cuts. The $20 presses are made from recycled materials and were sold at Starbucks cafes and on its website from November 2016 through January 2019. And the world's highest dump is Mount Everest, but it's not as trashy. Now the cleanup team has collected 3 tons of garbage in its first 2 weeks of work. About a ton of the tents, climbing equipment, bottles, cans, and everything else mountaineers won't carry up or out was airlifted by helicopter to be recycled.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, and only 1 ton of it is recyclable. The rest
that's
of it,
awful.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Oh my goodness. That's terrible. Thanks, Rasek. Well, Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska had a great response when he learned reigning Jeopardy super champion James Holzhauer and 2 competitors did not know who he was. On last Friday's episode of the game show, contestant Robin Falco selected the social studies category 2000, where Sasse's image quickly appeared. Alex Trebek posed the question.
He's a senator from Nebraska and the author of Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. That is Senator Ben Sasse.
None of the trio, including the record-breaking 37-year-old professional sports gambler, asked who is Ben Sasse. That caught the attention of the GOP lawmaker. On Twitter, Sasse joked, "I'll take uncomfortable, awkward silences for $1,000, Alex." Jeopardy contestants have a history of not being current with politics. In 2018, 3 contestants failed to correctly identify former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn in a clue related to the Russia investigation. Holzhauer has continued his winning streak, clinching his 20th consecutive victory yesterday and collecting a total of more than $1.5 million. He almost lost his title as champion this week, winning his 18th game by only $18. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.